online at I.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is in Iowa today for scheduled events. The president looking to shore up his Midwest support. The full House will soon be voting to authorize the Judiciary Committee to pursue a contempt citation against Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. A White House official says that Egypt, Jordan, and Morocco have confirmed their attendance at a U.S. conference this month in Bahrain, where the administration will unveil the economic portion of its plan for Mideast peace. Plans to build Barack Obama's $500 million presidential center in a lakefront Chicago park can move forward, according to a federal judge. The group Protect Our Parks had argued the city illegally transferred land meant for a park to build the center. On Wall Street, the Dow ahead 9 points. This is SRN News.
We'll have plenty of rain with thunderstorms, especially this afternoon, the high 89 degrees. Early thunderstorms tonight with an overnight low of 75. Tomorrow, more thunderstorms, the high tomorrow about 85 degrees. Looking ahead to Friday, mostly sunny with the high of 87. Saturday, also mostly sunny with the high of 87.
Good afternoon. It's Doug McCary from His Light Ministries on SWAT Radio on a Thursday afternoon, August 23rd. And I'm very glad to be here. And I said yesterday Brad would be here today, but I was not entirely honest. Brad is in Jacksonville, but he's not here. He had something come up, and he was not able to be here. But that's okay, because I have a very special guest today. He's a good friend of mine. He's been on before, and I still remember what he shared last time. And I'm happy to have Dr. Perry Bowers with us today. Perry, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Thanks so much, Doug. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. Perry is started a ministry. Perry, when did you start Focus Living?
1993.
All right,
25 years ago.
1993. So Perry started this ministry called Focused Living Ministries. He's one of the most focused men I know. And he's so focused that when we played basketball, he took out my eye out to almost took my eye out to win the ball game. I remember that. We were playing basketball. He jammed his index or his ring finger into my eye. I felt the end of his knuckle. You remember that, Perry?
Oh, yeah. At least three knuckles deep. It was awesome. But made the bucket, too.
Didn't we have to go to the emergency room? I think we did.
We did.
Yeah, that was his introduction to mentoring me, I think. He kind of felt guilty after that, so he's been a mentor of mine ever since then. But no, I've known Perry a long time. I met him through the Arrow Leadership Program, where he was teaching us about evangelism, and he's just been a great friend throughout, I don't know, last 20 years, Perry, 22 years maybe, we've yep. known each other. And you've been married to Janet since 1975. That's a long time.
Exactly.
That's a long
time. It'll be 43 years.
43 years. And you have two married daughters and how many grandchildren now?
Six grandbabies, 12 down to six.
12 to six. And you do like a boot camp in the summer times for your grandkids, don't you?
We have cousins camp.
Cousins camp.
We had the Olympic theme this past summer. It was great. My team lost, came in third, but that's okay.
Well, you have been mentoring and discipling men for a long time. I know you went to Western Baptist Seminary and got your doctorate at Columbia, which is right there in Columbia.
Correct.
And you've been very involved in the local church forever. You've been kind of what I remember about you too is all your Far Side comics. You were a Far Side guy, which a lot of people may not even know what Far Side is anymore, but it was a little comic that made really, really obvious points through humor, right? I mean,
exactly.
And so Perry turned me on to those. They were actually quite funny. And Dave Andes has been with you for a while too on staff up there,
yeah,
right?
About 20 years. He's he runs the ministry I get to serve in. He's so good at leadership that my board of directors asked him to lead the ministry, and he's doing a great job.
Well, if I'm on an elevator, Perry, and I say, what's focused living, what would you tell me in 2 minutes?
Focused living is a ministry to men where we help men unchurched and we call church damaged men become so focused on Christ that they're living for Christ. And we do a lot of outreach. We do a lot of mentoring. We do a lot of discipleship. And we do a lot to really help repair church ministry, and the church always trumps and is more important than focused living. So we do a lot to help to try to help the churches and ministry to men.
Well, I benefited greatly both from Perry's personal mentoring as well as just the teaching that he did up at Arrow. And he, in fact, he has a resource on his website. If you want to know more about Dr. Perry Bowers, you can go to focusedliving.com. That's F-O-C-U-S-E-D, living, L-I-V-I-N-G.com. And if you go to the resource page, there's a book that I've been using the concepts for, I don't know, 22 years, as long as he taught it to us. It was one of the best little models for teaching evangelism. It's called Each One, Reach One. And it's just a great tool to help you have a strategy and a focus to reach your friends and neighbors for Christ. And I've loved that. He's also got The Big Picture. Now, The Big Picture, is that more of a track, Perry? It's a little track, or is it a graphic or something?
It's a graphic track, but it's mostly just a little 6-minute video it's meant to show when people have a hard time articulating the gospel. It's show them a little video and then talk about it with their unbelieving friends. And just real sense on our, it's right online. First thing you see on our website, called The Big Picture, and you can look at that.
Yeah, and you can download that. He also has this thing called GRIP, which is a practical discipleship tool that gives you a grid to focus on a relationship between two or more guys. And you can download that, or you can purchase the book. And Perry, all of these things kind of came out of your forums, didn't they?
Just correct
the time. And explain your forums to guys, because we do SWAT Bible studies, which really our SWAT Bible studies kind of came out of your forums. You kind of modeled that. So explain what your forums are, because they're very similar to what we do down here.
Right. Just a very, 59 minutes long. We have 8 or 9 of them going, during the year, and meeting at breakfasts and at lunches. And it's just a format. It's a neutral place where men can come. They can ask questions. But we always have a theme. We always have, here's what we're studying in Scripture, like we just started this past week. It's called Built to Bless. Last year was spiritual warfare. The year before that was responding to God's love. Each year we have a different theme as we go through, like we went through Book of Acts. This time we're going through Colossians and then Nehemiah. Just depends on what we're going through. And a lot of unbelievers, a lot of guys are just trying to get back to the Lord, trying to be focused on the Lord because they find that life does not work apart from the Lord, can gather. And at the end, we always have 8-10 minutes for them to get in what we call tag teams, take and give, where they just share, hey, what was your takeaway and what are you going to do about it? Hmm. Real simple, a lot of fun, and hard-hitting.
And you do these events called wired events, like on marriage or different topical things. Basically, I know you want men to be connected with God because that's the way we've been designed. And so I know Perry's available to speak or come. If you have a church or you want him to come do a marriage, he does this thing called Magnificent Marriage. He also does different topics for men, like a men's retreat, men's breakfast on everything from adversity and stress or priorities. And one thing I remember about Perry is, Perry, as long as I've known you, every year you've had a word for the year that's been your focal point, your focus, correct?
Exactly.
And what's your word for this year, for 2018?
My word or phrase this year is deny self.
Deny self.
Denying self. Yeah. Last year it was fervent prayer. So each year I just take a weak area of my life that I've, as I sit before the Lord, and he just says, Perry, you're good at these things, but boy, you're really missing it here. And I just ask him to make that real weak area a real strength in my life. And I just focus on it as I read through Scripture and pray and read every book I can on it and so forth.
Well, I have benefited greatly. In fact, this week, Perry, we've been dealing with this subject of, can we trust the Bible that we have? How do we know we can trust the Bible, and how can we trust it with our life? We've been looking at 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, and 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. But the whole week we've looked at this issue of how do we know what we have is what we should have. It's from God. And I actually used a sheet you gave me a while back. I don't know if you remember even giving it to me. And it says, can the Bible be trusted with my life? And you go through and you lay out the need, the claim, and you do such a great job. I've stolen most of my good material from you over the years. I really appreciate your willingness to let me steal your stuff.
Absolutely. I've stolen it without pause from many others.
Well, one of the things I'd ask for us to be able to talk about today with you, Perry, because it's just to draw from your wisdom all the men that you've encountered and dealt with over the years. For the guy who's listening out there who goes, I'd love to be connected in a group, but I just don't have the time. What would you say to a guy like that? I just don't know how I'm going to fit one more event into my week where I could come to a SWAT group or a forum or be a part. What would you say to a guy like that based upon everything you've seen over your, many, many years of ministry?
Well, I don't think a man needs to be involved in 18 Bible studies, but I think he needs to be somewhere around some men who are authentic, who will speak into his life, that will both encourage and challenge him. To stay focused on the Lord and to apply God's word. And so I meet men like that all the time, and usually I say something along the lines that men don't do what they believe, men do what they value. Men believe a lot of things, but they never get around to it. But boy, anything they value, whether it's a ball game or a concert or hunting or something, it's you don't have to push them. It's nothing for a man to spend 4 hours tailgating, 4 hours at a football game, and then tailgating afterwards. But man, spending 8 minutes in the Bible, you'd think he'd take his firstborn child. So that's what I do. I just look him in the eye and say, look, you're going to do what you value. And so obviously that's not a value. What can I do to help you value what God values? And God values men falling deeper in love with Christ, obeying him, becoming more and more like Christ, they can impact their families and their communities. And so you start there, and that's usually sets a topic in the conversation in a good direction.
Well, as you've encountered men and the forums and the different issues that pop up in life, what do you see happen to those men that don't have that? I mean, that happen to the men who try to go through it without being connected, wired, so to use your words?
Well, they don't make it very far. They end up faking it. They end up dropping away from the Lord or just keeping a distance. They're going through the motions. I see them just checking off boxes. They're doing the outright things on the outside, but they're like termites, are just hollowed out from the inside. There's nothing there. They're not really growing in Christ. They're not having much of a positive impact. And their priorities usually get upside down. And the reason I can say all that is because I've been there. I know what it's like to just check off the boxes, even in ministry. And so that's what I see happening. Of course, then the overflow of that, the outcome of that is always relationships, family, marriages go sideways, kids estranged. And a lot of times I see guys waking up at 40 or 50 and saying, man, I wish I would have been connected to God all these years. And they weren't. And so that's okay. God's grace is bigger than our failures and sins. So we start where they are and let's go. Start now.
When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about accountability, an issue that is on hearts of a lot of guys, but they don't really want to talk about it. So it's Doug McCary with Dr. Perry Bowers. You're listening to SWAT Radio. We will be right back after this break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Doug McCary of SWAT Radio, and I'm here with Dr. Perry Bowers. By the way, I want to thank our sponsors, Caduceus Consulting, Ace Door and Window, Evolve Bank and Trust, and Mitel Technologies. Thank them for helping make this program possible. And if you're streaming on SWATradio.com and something happens to your internet, you can always go to 91.7 FM in Jacksonville, 91.9 St. Augustine, and 91.3 Folkestone. But if you are streaming, we appreciate you guys who are listening throughout the U.S. Also, you can podcast. You can go to search for podcasts and listen to this program as well as past programs by just searching for SWAT Radio. And you can communicate with us at Facebook at SWAT Radio or at SWAT Radio Talk and Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk. Perry, you know, we were... I talked to you before the program today, earlier today, about accountability, and I was just thinking, you know, most guys who trust Christ or who say they want to follow Jesus, they don't set out to intentionally disobey the word, the scriptures, or go against God's command. They're not, you know, they're not really looking to go that way, but a lot of men end up failing morally and spiritually, relationally, financially, because they have blind spots. Like when I was a pilot in the Marine Corps, our wingman was there. You would never go into battle alone because you had to have a wingman to see where you couldn't see. And I know you've dealt with guys that have crashed and burned, and you've helped restore guys, see them restored. Speak a little bit about the need for accountability and how we as men really struggle with that, just from your own experience of what you see there, and how can guys engage with other guys instead of just going through 10 questions? You know, guys can sit at a table and ask the questions and then give the answers, but they're not really being honest. How do you move into a real accountability relationship? What do you do with your guys up there?
Well, first of all, we remind each other that, you know, in our United States, we're so individualistic that Christianity is a team sport. God never said, hey, I just want you to go out and wing it on your own. It's a team sport. It takes several guys, build them into your life, and hold you accountable. So each guy needs a real team around him, and we love that in sports all the time. And so the way you move into it is you understand the importance of it. And God's given us lots of illustrations in Scripture of guys that needed accountability but didn't take advantage. Like I think of Solomon. The reason why he started well but ended poorly is because he's the most wise man on the earth, but he had a prideful streak to him. He would not let guys get around him and ask him hard questions. So that's why he writes Ecclesiastes saying to young men, hey, I'm an old guy now. Here's some things I wish I would have had that accountability. That's why you read Ecclesiastes 4, you know, the two are better than one because they give a good return. And it uses the words, if either of them falls, if either of them are alone, or either of them are overpowered. We're always falling, we're always alone, we're always overpowered. So he says two are, cords of three strands are not easily broke. So we ease into it by just admitting that we can't do it alone. If they can't do that, they're not going to be accountable. It's not just about asking some questions, but it always starts there.
Yeah, well, I like what you say. We're designed to be part of a team and not to do it alone. Is that an issue for us today in the American culture, to be a team?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in the church, outside of the church, we want to go it alone. And what we do is we wait till things get so bad. I mean, every week I get called by someone saying, man, my marriage is shot. Well, when did it start going? Oh, 3 years ago? We've been meeting for 3 years. I've been asking you the questions. Why don't you say, well, I didn't want you to think I was not too spiritual or whatever. Well, hey, we're sinners. And so men are scared to death of accountability because they're afraid to be found out, and which is really sad. But throughout Scripture, God says, I want my men accountable and accountability teams.
Well, you know, when I think of discipleship, community is one of the first things I see with Jesus. He invited his followers to be with him, not just to listen to him, but to be with him, to follow him. And these men spent all day, every day with him. It wasn't just a compartment or an add-on to their life. I mean, they were with him. And so when you think about how does community happen with your guys in your forums and stuff up there? Like, how do guys move from, say, I know you have guys that just show up at your forums, mm-hmm. and they come with a friend and they listen. How does that guy move from just being a guy who's listening to Perry teach with some other guys to getting into that relationship? Because that can be hard. That can be difficult,
you know? It's really hard. But it can go a lot easier if someone is willing to share in weakness. So what we do is, we say things, fun things like, hey, if you got your life together, you're not welcome at our meeting. This is only for guys that don't have it all together. So the idea is just we're all sinners. We all need help. We all need a team. And then we always encourage guys, an older guy, not just older in the Lord, but older chronologically or anybody, start with weakness. Say, instead of, hey, I'm going to hold you accountable, hey, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Can I trust you to pray for me? Can I trust you to ask me these questions? Can I trust you to just help me experience a victory in this life? And usually that way they're going, wow, I'm taking the initiative to do that. And usually guys say, well, man, I can do that too. So it starts with, we I know it's a men's thing, but we talk about so many times guys get together and like two dogs sniffing each other at the corner, you know, instead of really getting down to it and saying, hey, I am weak in this area, and I'm going to trust you not to blab it all around, but would you help me? So it starts there. If we can't move past that, accountability does not happen, has been our experience.
Well, I think, you know, I know Pat Morley describes five categories of men, as you think about when you're reaching out to men in your community and you're trying to be an influence, hurting men, guys who are servant leaders who are actively engaged in their faith, biblical Christians, cultural Christians, and natural men who really have little or no spiritual interest, but they may come to an event you do, a retreat or whatever. So as you think about these five categories of men, every one of them requires a little bit of a different approach as far as going that next step to engage them. How would you encourage people to engage that natural man? If there's a guy listening, he's got a friend who has really little or no spiritual interest, but he says, yeah, I'll come check it out. How can that guy encourage that guy?
Well, a natural man is not interested in God to begin with, but if you can get him to a meeting and let him see some other guys that are struggling the same things he's struggling, maybe he'll start seeing that, you know, what these guys have in common is they're all crying out to God who created them and to Christ who is a prototype man. Hey, would you help me to be more like Christ? Would you help me to be the man, the husband, the father, the businessman you've called me to be? So they'll see that. Until Christ is in their life, they're really not going to want to be held accountable. So, first of all, we help them to come to Christ however long that takes. You know, we see guys coming to Christ regularly. And so we start there, and once they come to Christ, we just help them understand that growing and taking the next baby steps in Christ are just the natural. You don't just come to Christ and that's it. But you've got to get with a couple of brothers that will meet with you. So we're always pairing guys up in twos, little triads of three, maybe a group of four, and just constantly building those relationships. The deeper the relationship, or the more trusting the relationship, the more likely accountability is going to happen. Then you just start with baby steps.
Yeah, like that guy, the natural man, I mean, getting that guy into some kind of accountability relationship might be a little bit premature for a natural man.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He's not going to want it, and he's not going to understand it, because accountability is not just me and another guy. It's me, Christ, and another guy. It's me, the Holy Spirit, and another guy. And that's void out of his life, so he's not going to. It's just going to be my what's going to happen? He's going to be a moral man instead of a master's man. Mm-hmm. So that's how we describe it. Anybody, you don't need God to be a moral man. You just have to be better than the guy next to you.
Yeah.
We talk about being a master's man, becoming more and more like Christ, and that's the attractive thing. Moral men are not, they're nothing attractive. It's just a set of rules. Just like, keep the rules, check off the boxes. So we help men to understand that, and the Holy Spirit, by and large, does that and draws them to himself, and then they say, man, I want to be that master's man. I'm tired of being a moral man.
Yeah.
And, so that's what happens.
Well, then I see another guy who maybe moves from that step. He has kids, or he's realizing the value of teaching his kids morals and stuff. They start going to church, and they're there, but they're not really engaged. But they're there. You know, they're starting to realize the value. Is that still a little premature to be getting a guy like that, even though he's not really engaged or interested in spiritual growth, but he's there? He's coming to the meeting. He's coming to the church. How do you interact with a guy like that?
Well, first of all, I ask him why he's even going. And a lot of times I get, well, because my wife took me here. I'm trying to expose my kids to Christ. I said, that's great. But, you know, the greatest gift you can give your wife and kids is for you to know Christ. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, and we say this all the time, don't commit yourself to a philosophy called Christianity. Follow a Christ who risen from the dead, somebody that's alive. And so, and that sort of shocks him a little bit and say, well, what does that mean? So we try to help him think in terms of a relationship. And again, you can go to church and not know Christ. You can come to SWAT or Focus Living and not know Christ. Mm. But we help them to come to know Christ, and the moment they come to Christ, they're a new man, and they want to become the man that God wants them to be. But we just, again, baby steps. We just surround them, pray for them, share with them, encourage them, and watch for signs of God working in his life. I'm forever telling a guy, I mean, unbelievers, hey, you know, I really see God doing this in your life. What? What do you mean? Yeah, I really see God soften your heart. I'm not just blowing smoke at him. I really mean it. I see God work, and boy, they've never even heard that before. But we legitimately point that out to these guys, and they say, well, man, what else is God doing? Well, let's keep going here. Let's find out what he wants you to do. We just keep explaining the gospel to him.
Mm, that's good. Well, listen, we're going to come back after the news on the half hour, and I want to talk with you about that guy. He says, okay, I'm reading the Bible, and I don't really get it. So when we come back, I want to delve into that a little bit. If you're listening and you'd like to ask Perry a question, you can call 904-401-1413. That's 904-401-1413, or you can call 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. You can ask him a question. He's been doing ministry for a long time to men, Or you can send a question at ask@swatradio.com. I'm Doug McCary from His Light Ministries here with Dr. Perry Bowers on SWAT Radio. We'll be back after the break.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Trump is insisting that he's not worried about Vice President Joe Biden in the 2020 race. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
As the campaign rhetoric heats up, the president says Biden is worried about him, not the other way around.
When a man has to mention my name 76 times in a speech, that means he's in trouble.
And the president says Biden is wrong when it comes to understanding the economic threat posed by China.
Joe Biden is a dummy. Joe Biden thought China was not a competitor.
He calls Biden a loser and thinks he's the weakest mentally of the 2020 Democratic field. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The president will be in Iowa today, where he has a couple of scheduled events. Democrats are expected to authorize the House to go to court to enforce subpoenas for Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. That vote is expected soon. It looks like members of Congress won't be getting a pay raise anytime soon.
Democrats dropping a proposed $4,500 a year pay raise after major backlash from members in tight races. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy thinks that's a mistake.
I do not want Congress at the end of the day to only be a place that millionaires serve. This should be a body of the people.
McCarthy notes that members of Congress haven't had a pay raise in 10 years. The hike would have bumped the annual congressional salary to $178,500.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Also at townhall.com, a group of state attorneys general plans to sue to stop the $26.5 billion merger of wireless carriers T-Mobile and Sprint. It's an unusual step ahead of a decision by federal antitrust authorities. The Justice Department has not yet issued a decision regarding the deal. A roller coaster ride on Wall Street today. Stocks are down now. The Dow is off 36 points. The NASDAQ down 9. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Still major delays on the west side because of an accident. Blanding Boulevard northbound and southbound at Lakeshore Boulevard blocking all the lanes there. Also, there's an accident I-95 at the northbound ramp to Gulf Air Boulevard and another crash on I-95 northbound at the exit at the 295 West Beltway on the north side. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers, low 73. Wednesday, more clouds, more storms, high 88.
Hey, it's Doug McCary. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. And Perry, why can't we be friends, man? Huh? Can we be friends? We live in a culture that's really, really divided right now in a lot of ways. And it's a great time to be doing ministry, a great time to be reaching out to guys. And, you know, unfortunately, not unfortunately, that's not the right word. It tends to be an issue when you reach out to guys to try to bring them around the Bible. You know, discipleship is a community around the Word of God. It's not just a community. It's a community around the Word of God. And for the Hebrews, when they followed Jesus, those guys had a love for Scriptures, and it was their connection with God. We don't see that so much anymore. A friend of mine, a guy named David Murrow, I met years ago, put out some reasons why guys don't read the Bible, or they read it, you know, poorly. He just said that, you know, the Bible's written at a grade level that a lot of guys don't like reading at, because you know, even today the average college freshman only reads at a seventh grade level. And if you read, whether it's the New American Standard or the King James, it's written at a higher grade level than that. And even the way it's written, I mean, most people today are geared to read at best a short single thought paragraph, but the Bible has lots of run-on sentences and, you know, multiple topics and big chunks. And the other big hit is the Bible's boring for them. parts of it have some excitement in it, but by and large, as a whole, without understanding the context, it's boring. So as far as accountability goes and dealing with men, how do you respond to these real life issues that men face when reading the Bible? You know, that they don't want to read it or they struggle to read it. It's hard to understand. And so they end up, you know, thinking, well, I'm just going to hear about the Bible and I don't really, I read it, I've tried and it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a ton of questions right in that question.
Just jump on any one you want. This is a free-flowing conversation.
Well, yeah, the first thing I would do is, you know, we build a lot of our ministry around Proverbs 17:17. A brother loves it all the time. A friend loves it all the time, and a brother is born for times of adversity. So one of the things we do is we help guys. We all guys have some kind of adversity in their lives. And we try to say, hey, would you like to hear what God says to that adversity that you're going through, that adversity, those priorities, your family? I've never met a guy yet that says, no, I don't want to hear that. So we start there, where the needs are. We also talk about, don't just read the Bible, meet with God. And that sounds so counterintuitive. We're not against reading the Bible, but don't just read the Bible, but meet with God. So we teach them how to start by slowing down your heart, turning off your computer so much that they're just distracted. And so we say, hey, here's how you cry out to God and say, God, I don't know much about you, but if you have anything, start just tell them what you're feeling and say, God, I really want to hear from you. If this is more than just a book written by a bunch of old dead guys, and if this is your word, then speak to me. Hmm. And we point them in some directions. Oftentimes, we just do it with them. I mean, we have a whole generation raised in sound bites. They can't think beyond just a sound bite, and so we don't have them do whole paragraphs. We don't have them do. We go back to the narratives and stories and that kind of thing. I don't start guys out in Leviticus. That's a great book. It's all about period, but they don't start there. Because they don't have the framework, they don't have the history, they don't have a clue what's going on. So we start with Jesus, we start with baby steps. What about Bob? Baby steps. And we just help them there. So we start all those things, starting at a point of need, helping them to learn to meet with God. How do you quiet your heart? How do you turn off your cell phone in just 5 minutes? Let's meet with God. So if you read this, I'll sit next to you. I'll read the same thing, and you tell me what jumped out at you, or tell me a question. If Jesus was right here, what question would you ask him about what you just read? We start there until they can get to the point, like baby birds, just vomiting in their mouth, so to speak, as they grow. It sounds gross, but I'll chew it. I'll vomit in your mouth. I'll chew it, you know, if you can't chew it yourself. And I'll help you to grow until you can fly out of the nest, eat on your own, that type of thing. So that just typical illustration there.
Well, and you know, one thing too, Perry, is I think people, when they hear you teach or me teach or somebody teach, or even they're part of a group where they're with guys who may have been walking with Christ a little longer than they have this perception that we understand all of the Bible, that we've got it down. And that, you know, we've somehow arrived. But when you and I read the Bible, even now, if we don't read the Bible as a supernatural act, like what Piper says, then we're just reading in our own flesh. And I think a lot of guys struggle in that they try to read the Bible with a human understanding. And Piper says that, you know what, there's two reasons that it doesn't work that way, Satan and sin. The enemy outside and the disease inside, and they make it impossible for us to read the Bible as God intended without some kind of supernatural help. And I just think it's intimidating for guys, but you would certainly acknowledge without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't understand anything, right? I mean,
exactly. That's why we start. Don't just dive in, read, stop, talk to God. Say, God, I need to hear from your truth. If this is your truth, talk to me through this. You know, we don't talk about hearing him audibly and that kind of thing, but we just say, God, would you impress your truth? And so start there. And it's got to be, it's written by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's got to give that to you.
Yeah, I love what Paul says. He says, when he's preaching, he says, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Satan wants to keep you from reading your Bible. He will do everything and anything. And one of the things I like to ask guys, Perry, is, hey, how much time you've been spending in the Word over the last week? And I'm amazed at the guys that I meet that I'm like on airplanes and stuff that I talk to. And I say, is anybody asking you about this? And no. And what happens? What have you seen happen with all your experience and stuff to guys if you're not being asked that? If nobody's asking you.
I even go more basic than that. It's a great question. But tell me about how you've been spending time with God. And what has he been saying? And one of the prayers we teach the guys is Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from their word. They don't even expect to get wonderful things from the word. They're not asking God, God, open my eyes. I mean, I look at everything around me all day long, but these 10, 15 minutes, would you open my eyes that I can see what you're trying to say to me in truth? So, again, Satan does not mind you reading the Bible. He hates it when you start meeting with God as you're reading the Bible.
A lot of guys
read the Bible.
Yeah, no, that's
not meeting with God.
You're exactly right. I mean, Bible, if you're only reading the Bible to just get facts or maybe to check off a block or even to learn theology so you can just learn for the sake of learning theology or even satisfy some kind of curiosity, Satan's happy with that. What he's not happy with is when you read it to know God, to spend time with God, to know his son, and to do what the psalmist says, to taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean,
exactly.
That's what he doesn't want. But I just find a lot of guys think that their problem is ignorance. But I don't think that's our problem. I just really think it's a Satan or sin problem with us. It's either pride or it's Satan just, you know, deceiving us to think that we can't, because you or I, nobody can understand God's word without the Spirit revealing truth to him.
Well, the pride comes with this. I hear guys say this all the time, and they may not say it verbally, but they say it in their heart. God, I got this. I got today. I got my marriage. I got my finances, and I'll call on you when things get so bad, I don't got it anymore. That's just pride. Thinking that we can get through the day. Anybody can blow through the day, but are you going to grow through the day? Not going to happen apart from God. So it's just back to walk with God, just the basics in there, and it's a whole pride issue, at least for the man that knows Christ.
Yeah, I think at least the guys that I encounter who come to SWAT or who I get to interact with who come to SWAT, they don't really wrestle with can they trust the Bible, but I do think on a practical level they struggle with when they have problems in life, can they trust the Bible then? You know, is that their source they go to? And I'm sure you see that in your realm too there, right, with your forums. I mean, guys who are dealing with real life stress, anxiety, marriage, finance, whatever, they tend not to go to the Bible first. Or to God first, right? I mean, that's a big problem we have.
They call on God when they run to the end of their resources. Okay, now call on God instead of go calling on God first.
Yeah,
it's like God invented. I tell guys, God invented sex. He invented marriage. He invented work. He invented priority. Why not go to him first to see how all those work instead of last after you've messed them up? And they go, oh, I never thought of that. Okay, well, let's see what God says about these things. It's not that he's not speaking; it's that we're not listening. And it takes some work to listen.
Yeah. Well, hey, Perry, we got to come back for our last break.
Okay.
But while we're on the break, can you think about that illustration of accountability that you gave a long time ago about a guy who built the boat? I'd love for you to share that with our group when you come back, the people listening. And so it's Doug McCary with Dr. Perry Bowers, Focus Living Ministries. Great resource for ministries. If you want to go to the website You can go to focusedliving.com, and he's got great resources for evangelism, for discipleship there. And if you want to make a donation, I'm sure he would appreciate that too. He is a faithful brother out there doing great work. His name's Dr. Perry Bowers. He's a good friend and a Paul in my life. And when we come back, Dr. Perry Bowers is going to give us a great illustration about being accountable. You're listening to SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com. Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary with Dr. Perry Bowers from Focused Living Ministries. And if you're listening out there and you want to go back and listen to this, you can go to SWATradio.com and listen to past programs. You can also podcast, go to just do a search for SWAT Radio Podcast, and you can listen to it as well. And by the way, Perry, we got Perry for just a few more minutes. If you have a question you'd like to call in, 904-401-1413 outside of the North Florida, South Georgia area, 844-777-7928. Perry, I've always remembered, when I think about of accountability, I remember that illustration you shared at Arrow, and that was back in 1996. So that's how much of an imprint it made on me when you shared that particular illustration. I thought it was just a great illustration of what we as men tend to think about in our lives. We look at the outside, we look at the here and now, the temporary, a lot of times, and we don't think about what's really important. And can you share that in a few minutes? You know which one I'm talking about, right?
I know it because I stole it from Gordon MacDonald.
Okay. Well, it's a great illustration.
Yeah, the illustration is real simple. A guy decided he had a lot of money. He was going to build the most spectacular sailboat in the yachting club, some 60, 70-foot sailboat. And so he started off doing great, and then he ran out of money a little bit. He says, no one sees below the waterline. I'm only going to spend my money above the waterline, all the teak and the brass and all that. And on his maiden voyage, it went out and it capsized in the first storm because it had no weight before the waterline. What he did is he scrimped on the keel. Mm-hmm. All sailboats, rightly built sailboats, no matter what storm, it just pops straight back up because of the weight of the keel. Well, the whole idea is because there's no accountability, there's very foolish men out there battling storms. They have no weight below the waterline, no ballast of strength, they're great starters, but they're not great. They're not faithful finishers. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is, I've just sort of geared that illustration to, you are not going to finish well. You are not going to finish as a faithful finisher apart from accountability, because it takes other men to build weight below the waterline where no one sees. Weight of character. So what you do in private is the same as what you do in public, and there's no discrepancy between the two.
Wow. I love that. It's just very illustrative of how even our culture, for us, we would say, what's most important is what people see, instead of who we really are. You know, we focus on the outside, and who we are in private, nobody really knows but our family. You know, nobody knows but those. And even that, we hide from our family a lot of times who we really are. And I love that illustration about how God wants, he wants us to dig deep. He wants, and a lot of times, and maybe you could speak to this a little bit, you know, as men, when we are going through the forge of pain or suffering, isn't that God just building below the waterline there? I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, for all the men listening, you need to be asking the question right now, how much weight of God's character, God's truth, do I have below the waterline of my life, where the action really is? Because everybody's got all the big sails and the big mast and all. That's not where it's at. It's the keel below the waterline. And let me just give you a definition, very practical, again, for accountability. And what we say is this: accountability is consistently asking each other on earth the same questions God's going to ask us in heaven. We are going to stand before God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to stand before him, verse 10, 9 and 10 there. It says that we're going to stand before the beam seat. That's not unto our salvation. We're not going to lose our salvation, but he's going to ask us hard questions. Like, he's going to ask each one of us, you know, if I die today, he'd stand before him. He'd say, Perry, for 65 years, I've given you 168 hours a week. Give me an account how you use those for me. Perry, I gave you a beautiful wife for 43 years. Now, give me an account. How did you build her up? How did you love her? How did you sacrifice for her? Gave you these children, this finances. Perry, you were in the top 1% of the world population financially, just living in America. Give me an account how you advanced my kingdom through your finances. Those are tough questions, and you've got to have a lot of weight below the waterline to stand before God to answer those. So let's start now on this side of the grave before we are on the other side of the grave.
That's really good, and I really appreciate you saying that. That's a great definition. Again, accountability is consistently asking on earth the questions God is going to ask us in heaven.
Exactly.
And helping each other out. Well, Perry, there's a guy out there who may be struggling. He may be struggling in the sense that maybe he came to Christ later in life. Maybe his wife isn't where he is. She doesn't have the same buy-in, and he's trying to do this Christian thing, and she's just not there. And how would you encourage that guy who's really wanting to lead his family spiritually but not getting the support there, and really it's being a struggle? How would you encourage that guy?
Oh, I'm sitting here looking out the window of my office, and I can see 3 or 4 neighbors around that are exactly where that man you just described, who have come to Christ in the last couple of years and so forth. I tell them, pursue Jesus Christ and let Christ, you pray for your spouse, you pray for your kids, but you pursue Jesus Christ and let God change you and you let him change them. And that has made all the difference in these guys' lives. You can't change them. You can't work on their hearts. That's God's job. But you pursue Christ. That does not mean, again, 15 Bible studies and every time the church is open, you authentically pursue Jesus, letting God change you, making you the man, the husband that he wants you to be, and you watch what God does in their life. You watch how attractive you become to them. That's hard work. The easy thing is, I'm just going to pray and see if I can change my wife. That's not what you do. You pursue Jesus Christ. So I encourage at any age, I don't care what age you come to Christ, God is far more committed to your marriage, your family, than you ever will be. But you start with pursuing Jesus Christ. One of the verses I give them is that old standby verse, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Seek the king, the kingdom, and righteousness, being rightly related to Christ. That's what righteousness is. Not running around doing right things, is being rightly related to God. Then you'll do the right things for the right reasons, in the right timing, the right way. Seek the king, seek his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You watch me do that, says God.
That's really good stuff, Perry. Thank you. And again, I want to remind our listeners, focusliving.com. That's focused LIVING.com and go to the resources link. He's got it. It's called a big picture bill. It's like the size of a dollar bill, but what it is, it's two mountains separated, and it's a great little picture, like a bill that you could use to facilitate a gospel dialogue with someone. I always just draw that out on a napkin, but it's really great. I mean, they're a quarter each, and they're pre-printed, and you could use that to facilitate a gospel conversation. He's actually got a DVD on there that explains how to do that using John 3:16 and John 1:12. I've used that, Perry. I've also used Romans 6:23 using that bridge as well. Mm-hmm. He's got Each One, Reach One is a good resource for evangelism, reaching your friends and family. Really, really good resource about praying through them. And also GRIP, he's got actually quite a few free download things on there. That you can just download about. It's called Fuel. They're just Bible studies, I think he has. And then GRIP, which is a practical discipleship little tool that you can download, or you can buy the book and have it. And so I would really encourage you. He's got a thing on there about marriage, too. It's a free download, How to Date Your Wife. I've got some great ideas from Perry about taking my wife on date nights or taking her away. And I won't disclose them. You need to get his little booklet thing. It's a free download. So I don't know if you put in there what you told me, Perry, but you gave me some great ideas for little date things. So you've been a good friend, a good mentor over the years, and I really appreciate you being a part of the program today. Again, folks, focusliving.com. Lots of good resources. If you want Perry to come share, he does that some. I know he's primarily focused up in South Carolina, but he has been down here. He shared at churches in this area and done retreats before in Jacksonville. So he would probably love to be considered a resource in any men's retreats or prayer breakfasts or even kind of marriage things. So Dr. Perry Bowers, focusliving.com. Perry, just thank you again for being here with us today, and God bless you and what you're doing in your ministry, brother.
Absolutely thrilled. Thanks so much, dear brother.
All right. You have a great, great weekend, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right. You know, I was really excited to have Perry on. He has been one of those guys in my life who constantly calls, how you doing, Doug? Are you in the Word? How's it going with Lori? And, you know, he's been faithful for 20-plus years doing that. So this is, I've been in his forums. He's not just a guy who talks about this stuff. He lives it out. And that's why I love having him on the program. And again, let me give you his definition of accountability. Consistently asking on earth the questions God is going to ask us in heaven. That's what you do with your friends, your brothers in arms. And that's one of the SWAT team, one of the core five values that we have is community of brothers, a band of brothers that is asking those questions of each other. And so if you're listening today and you're not part of a group like that, starting September 12th, we kick back off our SWAT team Bible studies. I would love for you to be a part. We're meeting out at the beach at Woody's Barbecue at 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday, September 12th. At lunch, we're meeting here at the Salem Center at 12 noon. Then we're meeting at Eastside Community Church on Beach Boulevard between Kernan and Hodges. It'll be 6:30 this year p.m. on Wednesday night. Then Thursday mornings at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food in St. Augustine. We're meeting at 9 o'clock at Village Inn. And so tomorrow we're gonna have Greg Gilbert, who is the pastor of Third Avenue Baptist Church up in Louisville, Kentucky. He's also the author of What is the Gospel? Why Trust the Bible? Who is Jesus? And he is just a great shepherd and done some neat things at his church. Al Mohler is actually in the body of his church up there, and he was Al Mohler's intern. So I think that speaks pretty highly of him, the fact that Al Mohler is going to his church to be ministered to by Greg. So I asked him if he would come join us. He's going to be our guest. We're going to talk about why we can trust the Bible. Again, it's been great being with you today, and I thanks Perry Bowers for being here. Join us tomorrow for Greg Gilbert, and we sure appreciate you listening to SWAT Radio. Have a good rest of your day.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.